Thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning. Thank you for everybody out there in Facebook land. As you can tell, those of you who are regulars, I am not Pastor Jeff. And he and Miss Annette have taken this time to get some family time and some quality time together. So we lift them up and ask that you guys pray for them for safe travels back for us, to us. Today, I get to talk to you today. I want to start off by saying that I understand that a lot of the things that I'm going to say today are going to step on a toe or two. Okay? I understand that. But I want everyone to understand that it's not meant as being mean or vindictive. It's coming from a heart that wants us to change the way we do business as Christians. Okay? Because it's needed. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. The main focus of what we're going to talk about today is going to be verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Jesus speaking to his disciples just before his ascension into heaven gives them a commandment. And this is the commandment that he gives them. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Now, this commandment the Lord Jesus gave is what we call the Great Commission. Okay? And he gave this command to his disciples, but the command isn't just for the disciples. The command was for all Christians to go out and make disciples. Okay? His disciples, those men that walked with him in those days, they went out and they flipped their world upside down. Okay? Literally. Turned everything that people did and thought they knew into an entirely different understanding of Scripture. And so these guys went out and turned the world upside down because they changed it. What was it that they did that changed the world? He said, go out and make disciples. Well, what did they do to make them disciples? Well, they spread the gospel. They spread the message that Jesus came to this earth, lived a sinless life, gave his life on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. That was the message that flipped the world upside down. Yes, they gave better understanding of the Hebrew Old Testament, opened up the scriptures to what they really and truly meant, but the main message that really flipped everything upside down was that Jesus loves you, and he died for you, and he rose again. And if you believe in him, you will have eternal life for the Jew and for the Gentile. So that was the message that Jesus gave to his disciples. That is the command that Jesus gives to you and me as well. It's meant for the entire church age. Notice what Jesus says. I am with you till the end of the age. Okay? So this commandment goes all the way out to the end of the age for everyone who calls themselves a Christian. Okay? And so if you have the privilege of being called a Christian, then you need to be out there doing what Jesus has commanded you to do. Okay? And so I got a question for the church. How has the church done with this commandment? Okay? Now, it's been said that 80% of the work that's done in the church is done by 20% of the church. Notice what I said. 80% of the work that is done in the church is done by 20% of the church. That means the vast majority of the church doesn't do the work of the church. And the main job of the church is to spread the gospel message. And so most people never share the gospel message with anyone. They come to faith, yet that faith is with them and with them alone. And that is not what we should be doing. That should rip the heart of a Christian and rend it in two, because that should be something that each one of us should yearn to do, is spread that message to other people. And so Jesus tells us this, and I know I'm going to step on some toes, but this is Jesus saying these words. This is not me. In John chapter 14, verse 21, John chapter 14, verse 21, Jesus saying, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." So how can we say that we love Jesus yet disobey his commands? Especially this one. And so that 80% of the church that does not get involved, that percentage of the church that never speaks to anyone about the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're disobeying his commandment. And they're not showing him love. I am not saying they're not Christians. What I'm saying is they're being disobedient Christians. So, the sad truth is, leaving the job to others doesn't get it done. Saying that, oh, it's the pastor's job, he get paid the big bucks to do that. Well, we all know better than that here. Okay? That's his job. That's his calling. Leave it to the pastor's wife. She's married to the guy. She signed up for that. That's her job. Leave it to those who are called to do that job. But wait a second. Didn't I just read a verse in the Bible that says we're all called? Didn't Jesus just tell us to go out and make disciples? And didn't he just tell us that if we love him, he's going to obey us? So the word is, you're called. Are you called to ministry? Yes, you are called to ministry. Are you called to spread the gospel? Yes, you're called to share the gospel. There is no question about it. Because Jesus says so. Not because Tony says so, but because Jesus says so. I don't know if it's a conscious decision that people make, but that is not really the point. The point is, that is the result. Whether they're making the decision consciously or unconsciously, the result is that most people don't share the gospel. Now, I have another question. Now, this one's going to step on some toes as well. How's that working out for you? How is leaving it to somebody else working out for the effect that the church has on the world that you live in? On the people that you love? Look around you. Look at the world around you. Right now, in the day that we live in, look at the world around you. Lawlessness abounds everywhere. Murder rates in major cities are skyrocketing. These same major cities are boarded up. Businesses are shut down, partially because of the COVID, but a great deal of it is because people feel that they have a grievance, and it's their right to air that grievance by destroying and rampaging and stealing from other people. That's the world we live in. People, like I said, they're raging against other people. They're raging against someone for wearing a mask. They rage against someone for not wearing a mask. They rage for someone who's kneeling for the national anthem. They rage against someone who's not kneeling for the national anthem. They go after them for their skin color. They go after them for the color of their clothing. And the list goes on and on and on. Sometimes they don't even know why they're raging against someone, but they're raging nonetheless. Love has grown cold. It's as though people don't know how to love others anymore. They're looking for love, but they have no idea what that love is about. Better yet, they don't know who that love is about. Substance abuse. I can't even begin to talk about the level of destruction that has done to this world. This includes, now watch the toes, prescription drugs, alcohol, caffeine, nicotine. These are all drugs. Now, I'm not telling you or saying that if you take a sip of alcohol or if you smoke a cigarette or drink coffee, you're going to hell. What I'm talking about is the destruction that these drugs have raged on our society, on our bodies. We talk about the healthcare industry, and healthcare is a major issue in our society, yet we are just pumping all kinds of bad things into us. And that's the easy stuff. In the state of Oregon, just this past election, they legalized cocaine, heroin, and meth. Three of the most destructive drugs to the human body, and they legalize it. It's okay to have small amounts. Well, if you have small amounts, what are you going to do with it? You're going to use it. So they're okay in using these drugs. It's almost as if they don't even care anymore to even try to stop it. That's how bad it is. The people that are selling these drugs, they're getting bolder and bolder. The audience, the target audience for these drugs are getting younger and younger. They're marketing gummy bears that are filled with drugs. All sorts of drugs. Who's that marketed to? Children. Candies. It's marketed to kids. Your family, my family, is being very destructively affected by all these things. It's all evil. Sin is evil because of the effect that it has on mankind. Now, this includes everyone's pet sin. And look, I'm just as guilty here as anybody else. Everyone has them. And we need to look at it and see what is going on and what the effect of that is. Now, don't get me started on the whole twisted discussion about don't judge me. The enemy has gotten everyone thinking, I can do whatever I want, you can't judge me. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's a really bad interpretation of that scripture. But whatever I can do to justify what I'm going to do, then they're going to do it. So they try to use scripture. Logic has gone out the window. I find myself all the time thinking to myself, what's going on? Listening to people talk, I'm like, are you hearing yourself? Are you actually thinking about the words that are coming out of your mouth? It's amazing. It's incredible. The world that you and I grew up in, for the older ones of us, the kids, they're used to it by now. Okay, this is their world. Doesn't exist. And it's not coming back. If you study scripture, you will find out that what's going on is biblical. It's scriptural. This is Jesus told us these things are going to come. And he told us these things are going to come toward the end of the days. In Matthew 24, verse 4 through 7, he gives us a long list of things that are going to happen in the last days. And it almost reads as a headline checker. Oh, that's in the headlines. Oh, that's in the headlines. That one's in the headlines. In particular, I want to point to Matthew 24, verse 8. I want everyone to take note of what that passage says. Matthew 24, verse 8 says, all these things are what? The beginnings of sorrows. So as you look at the world around you, okay, and you begin to see all these things that Jesus said is coming, you need to understand that's the beginning. It's only the beginning of things. Now the world is out there, they know something's going on. I listen to talk radio all the time, and most of them are not Christians. They know something's up. Okay? And I'm talking about both sides of the political spectrum. They know something's up. They can't put their finger on what it is. Well, I have a hint for them. It's in here. If they would simply turn to it and see, they would understand why things are going the way they're going. You would understand why things are going the way they're going. For the Christian, this should be our clarion call to action. Because as we see these things happening, it should have shook every Christian to their core. Because if you know what the Word says and you know what's coming, you should be shook. You should be in a place where, wait a second, what am I supposed to be doing right now? See, the real shocker of all of this is that the things that are going on in our world is due to the church's complacency. We have not done our job. The world is standing on the precipice of judgment. And Christians have passed the buck to other people. But here's the thing about that passing the buck thing. When you pass the buck to the pastor, when you pass the buck to the pastor's wife, or the evangelist, or whomever, they will probably never meet the people that you meet on a daily basis. So that means that the pastor is the only one doing it, or the evangelist, or those called to it. So they're only affecting the lives of the people they come in contact with, which is a small number. The reason why Jesus gave this commandment to all of us is so that we can go out into the world and make disciples of who? All nations. Not just the nations that the pastors touch. And you may be sitting here saying, but why me? Why should I be any different than anybody else? Why should I risk everything to do these things? Well, the simple answer is, Jesus told you to. And that should be enough for any Christian to be able to sit back and say, you know what? I might lose something, but it's worth it. Why is it that Jesus tells you to do this? Why is it that it's so important that Christians take the time to tell the world that Jesus died for them? That Jesus was buried and rose again. And if you believe in him, you would be saved. Because those are the words of life. And you and I, Christians, are the ones who have those words. That is our responsibility, to get those words of life to the people around us. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, I'm particular verse 16, but 13 through 16, Jesus calls his followers the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And we are, because we have the message of life. We shine. And it's not our light shining into the world. It's his light shining through us. We are a lantern. We're not the source of light. We're just the projector of light. His light. But here's the warning. In verse 16, Jesus tells us, let your light... Back up a little bit. In verse 16, it's not a warning. It says, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So Jesus again commands you to let your light shine, to go out there into the world and be his witnesses to the world. Here's the warning in verse 13. He says, of the salt, he says, if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now, here's the deal. Is it fun to be told by the Lord of the universe that you're good for nothing? It shouldn't be. But that's exactly what the church, the majority of the church, has become in the world that we live in. Good for nothing. Because we live just like the world. We're no different. We've lost our flavor. There's no difference between most of the Christians that walk in this world and the world. What most people have done is refused to shine the light of Jesus into this world. They've done exactly what he said you shouldn't do. They've taken that light and they've put it under a bush. Or they've hidden it. Jesus gives us all the commandments, again, because you're the only one who's going to come into contact with the people that are in your life. You are the only you there is. I am the only me there is. And I'm the only one that's going to come into contact with everyone in my life. So it's incumbent upon me, as a believer in Christ, to share the gospel with as many people as I can. Here's the thing. If we truly love those around us, it's time for us to start acting like it. Again, look at the world around you. It's lost its collective mind. And there's no one that can honestly sit here and say that the world around us is a sane place. It isn't. It's insane. What I'm saying may seem a little bit harsh to people, but it's very much biblical. The command to go out. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. He says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Once again, yes, you are called to be a preacher. Maybe not in front of everyone on Sunday mornings. You maybe not be called to be a crusader like Billy Graham or Greg Laurie. But you're called to preach. How can these people hear about Jesus if no one is telling them? It's impossible. Now, we've let the enemy tell us the lie that I can't do that because I don't want to lose my friends. I don't want to lose my family members. They may think I don't love them. You really don't want to ruin your witness, do you? Well, if you love them, you will speak God's truth to them. And see, this is the thing. Jesus, in these chapters, verses in Romans 10, 14, tells us to go out. Then he tells us what it truly looks like when you do go out. In Romans 10, 15, he says, how then, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. our telling our loved ones all the time that Jesus loves them, that he died on the cross for them, that if they believe in him, they will find life. That makes you look to those who find salvation beautiful, amazing. You're not a pariah to them. You're not an enemy to them. To them, you're beautiful. When you bring those tidings of good things to them, you're amazing. Because you have brought to them eternal life. How amazing is it going to be to stand in heaven with those people who find salvation through you and me, knowing you did your part in getting them there? On the other end of that spectrum, how awful and horrific will it be for those whom you do not witness to? They never hear the gospel, and they end up in hell. This is the very reason why, if we truly love those around us, we will begin in earnest not only to speak the gospel, but to live it out in our lives. Because their eternal lives depend on it. You doing your job depends on it. Now, don't ask me why God has chosen us to bring his word to other people, but he has chosen us to bring his word to other people. I'm sure that there's a more effective way than having mankind do the job, because we all know how fallible mankind is. How many times have we sung the songs that we are the hands and feet of God? They come on the radio all the time. How many times have we put that into action, other than just flapping your hands in the car and singing along with them? Probably the most famous passage in the Bible is John 3:16. John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." This is a wonderful, amazing passage of hope that we should be proclaiming to everyone that we meet. The problem is, the church doesn't pay attention to the verse just two verses later. In John 18. In John 3:18, Jesus says, "He who believes in him," speaking of Jesus, "is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he does not believe in the name of the only begotten Son." Notice what it says. Believing in the only begotten Son. Not the Son of God that people make up in their own minds in order to be able to do what they want to do. That's the difference between what the world is doing, what a lot of the Christian church is doing, and what true believers should do. Preaching the Jesus of the Bible. Not the Jesus of somebody's making. Now, Christians in particular, especially in this day and age, especially in this country, seem to believe that this does not apply to their loved ones. How many funerals have you been to where the people stand up there and say, "Well, you know, Joe seems to be going to hell because he was an awful man"? I've been to many of them. I've been the officiator of many of them. It's never happened. Christians believe somehow that their family gets saved by osmosis. Just because they're near me, they saved. Just because they're related to me, they're saved. I'm sorry, that's not how it happens. God has no grandchildren. And it's incumbent upon each and every individual to make a decision about the gospel message that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried and he rose again. They have to make a decision on that. When we fail to spread the gospel message, it endangers the people that we are around to spending eternity separated from God. Now, here's a disclaimer. God knows who's going to believe in him. And he's going to reach them. But that knowledge should and does not in no way exempt us from what God has commanded us to do. Passing the buck doesn't get it. And the proof is in the society that we live in. I'm sure if we spend a minute or two, we can come up with all sorts of reasons why we cannot share the gospel with others. But let's be honest, none of it matters. None of it is sufficient to excuse us from doing it. Because Jesus commanded us to. We spend minute after minute, hour after hour, on phones and computers, going shopping, going fishing, going hunting, and every sort of recreational activity we can think of, but we can't share the gospel. And I'm not talking to the world. I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to believers. And again, I know it stings a little, and it should. It stung me when I was studying for it. If you're a Bible teacher, just a little word of warning, if you're ever privileged to share the gospel with someone or share a message from the Word of God with someone, if it doesn't teach you something, something's wrong. So as I'm studying for these things, the Lord is hitting me with it as well. So if it's stinging you, it stung me first. So I'm sharing the love. Leaving the work, again, of meeting, of giving that the gospel cannot be left to other people. It has to be done by you. Now, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. It's not a big secret, but it's a secret. All the stuff that's grabbing your attention, it's a purposeful, designed attack to keep you neutralized. It's on purpose. Everything that's going on in your life that distracts you away from God is designed to distract you away from God. And that includes all the good things in your life as well. Your enemy wants to keep you silent because it wants to keep your family in danger. He doesn't care about... Look, let me say this as well. Satan doesn't rule hell, and he never will. So he's not going to win your lost one's soul. They're just going to spend eternity without God. And he really doesn't care. So he's designed the world to distract you and keep you away from doing that which God has called you to do. And he's doing a pretty good job of it. He's used many different tools over the years. Persecution. He still uses persecution. In America, we don't know what persecution is. Let me tell you. When your friends don't like you because you love Jesus, that's not persecution. Ask the Christian in Iran that just got 80 lashes for taking communion. That's persecution. Your friends not liking you is not persecution. Your family not inviting you to the family get-togethers because they know you're going to be talking about Jesus, that's not persecution. The devil is using the most effective tool that he has in his toolbox against us today, and that's distraction. Keeping you and me occupied, doing other things other than spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. around us. I'm always reminded. Now, I had to do some research on this. And our biology, resident biology professor, may be able to back this up later. There's an analogy that I've been told over the years about boiling a frog. Okay? Now, the analogy is that if you take a frog and you throw the frog into boiling water, it'll jump out immediately. But, according to the analogy, if you place a frog in room temperature water and you slowly turn up the heat, the frog will stay in the water and die. Now, I don't know if it's true. I don't know who's that mean to be able to sit there and turn the heat up on the frog. I'm not even that mean. And everybody that knows me knows I'm not an animal person. So, but it's a very, very apt analogy for the Christian today. The enemy has slowly turned up the heat. And now Christians are beginning to say, hey, wait, something fishy here. I'm starting to smell something burn. The world around you is on fire. And many Christians are asleep, soaking up the jacuzzi. Right? So the enemy, he's been pretty effective. And it's incumbent upon us to make a change. Now, it's not that we cannot share the gospel. It's that we, in sharing the gospel, it takes sacrifice. Sacrifice of time, money, friendships, family relations. Now, most Christians don't do this. Most Christians don't make that sacrifice. But I'm here to tell you, the sacrifice is worth it. Now, again, if this was just Tony saying this, I would say you can ignore me. But again, Jesus doesn't leave us in the lurch. He gives us his word, telling us what he wants us to do. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The Holy Spirit, speaking through the Apostle Paul again, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. A living sacrifice. That means that it is ongoing and lifelong. To sacrifice what you would like to do and serve God. And I do the little quotation things because the enemy has us fooled that these are the things I like. I used to be that way. You couldn't get me to church on Sunday when the Saints were playing. I haven't watched a football game all year. Pro or college. Or even high school. And that's not me that did that. That's me desiring to walk with the Lord. And now that's not my interest anymore. I don't want to do those things. And you see, that's the lie that the enemy has told us. Is that we are, this is more fun. Now, you and I must go out and tell the world that Jesus died for their sins. It's good news. That's what the word gospel means. Good news. Good tidings. Now, you don't have to go to seminary to be able to share the gospel with other people. You can start by simply giving your testimony. To tell the world what God has done for you, how he reached you, and what he's done in your life. you can take the time to study the Word of God on a daily basis. Become comfortable with it enough so that you can point others to what it says. Problem is, most Christians barely give the Word of God any time on Sundays. Because in some churches, the Word of God is not even open. And I use that term church lightly. What attention they do give to the Word of God is usually wrong. Remember what I said about the judging passage? There's a laundry list of passages in the Bible that people misuse and misinterpret. You don't even have to be able to fully explain it. There's nothing in God's Word that says you have to explain John 3:16 in theological terms. All you have to do is point them to it. There's a witnessing tool that they call the Romans Road. And basically, you take a person down this Romans Road to salvation by simply letting them read what the passages in Romans says. Okay? And all you got to do is let them read it. It speaks for itself. In Isaiah 55:11, again, if this was just Tony saying it, you could just chalk it up as, you know, just the bald guy, you know, running off at the lips. But Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." You don't have to be a theologian. All you have to do is point them to the Word of God. Now you say, "Well, I don't know where things are in the Bible. I haven't got a clue where John 3:16 is." Notice what I just said. But here's the thing. You spend inordinate amounts of time on that little pocket computer. There are untold number of applications on that little computer that you can download that has that where you can do word searches of the Bible. Let's say you want to look up the word salvation. Someone says, how can I be saved? Well, you look up the word salvation in the Bible. And the word and the application will bring up every time the word is used in the scriptures. And you can search through them. Oh, here's a good one right here. Okay? That's how easy it is. That's how uncomplicated it is. I use Blue Letter Bible. It's an amazing tool. It's got commentaries and everything for my studies. It's also got a word search that if I can't quite place where the scripture is, I know what the scripture says. When I want to reference it, I just put in the words and poof, there it is. You know, where does it say God so loved? What? I can't. Well, you type it in and there it is, John 3:16. Again, you don't have to, look, there are Bible tracts that people have sat down, those theologians that we all think we have to be, have sat down and they've made little booklets that allow you to give to someone else to share the Word of God with them. And you don't even have to be able to explain it. Just read it. It's that simple. Remember I talked about the Romans Road? There's a tract that is the Romans Road. And it leads the person through these scriptures. And at the end, it tells them what they need to do to find salvation. That's how easy it is. Now these little tracts, people are like, "Well, I don't want to go stand on the corner and hand these things out." You don't have to. Some people are called to that. Don't get me wrong. Some people are called to that. And if you are, God bless you. Go out there and give them tracts. Preach the gospel on the street. Don't let them stop you from doing it. But it's not that difficult. You can take that little tract out of your pocket, out of your purse, and leave it. You go out and eat. Leave it on the table when you leave. We've got ink pens here at the church with the church address and a scripture on it. Leave it on the desk. Leave it on the table. Most waitresses use pens at work. You can have a tract sitting on your desk. You don't have to push it on them. Just have it there in case somebody wants to talk about it. Then you talk about it. You don't have to be, you know, the guy that walks up behind somebody with one of, you remember those big old family Bibles? Hardcover? You don't have to be the person to go up behind people with that book and beat them upside the head with it. God doesn't want you to do that. Well, you can. I mean, Ashton can do it to Charlotte, but, you know, that's a different story. You know what Deb and I do? Everywhere we go, when I go through a drive-thru, she has one in her purse. She takes it out of her purse, and we hand it with a little bitty bracelet in it, and we hand it to them and say, here, God bless you. I don't have to spend a whole lot of time with them. We leave them in the grocery carts. When I'm done with it, I put it in there, make sure it ain't flying away, put the grocery cart away, and walk away. Let God's word speak for itself. It's not that hard. And shame on us if we have let our enemy win that battle far too often. Living out our gospel, the gospel in our lives is important. But we have to start speaking the words of life into the people's lives. We have to stop compromising the lives of our loved ones. We have to stop thinking that hell isn't waiting for our family. It is waiting for them. When you and I fail to give them the gospel, that's what's waiting for them. And again, I understand that God will reach them if they heart to believe. But that's not an excuse. The fact that we don't save everyone should not be an excuse to witness to no one. Now, in case you haven't noticed, I purposefully shared the gospel of Jesus Christ multiple times today. It's that easy. And, you know, most of the times, oh yeah, okay, yeah. You heard it. But you really didn't, you know, okay, well, he's giving the gospel again. No, it's just there. You speak it out and you tell them about it and let God work on that. You plant the seed. Then you water the seed. And one day, hopefully for them, that seed will produce fruit in their lives. And you will have been a part of that person that you love and care for coming to salvation. And you will get to spend eternity in heaven, in paradise with them. Again, the gospel message, one more time. God the Father sent God the Son to be born a man, to be raised, to die on the cross for your sins, to be buried, 3 days later to raise again, having conquered sin and death for you and me, so that we don't have to spend eternity separated from God. Whoever turns away from their sins and believes that which I've just explained will find salvation. They can't find it through osmosis. They can't find it because they're related to you or because they've seen you walking by in the grocery store. They can only find it when you and I are speaking it. They can only find it when you and I are living it. You know, there's a reason why we tell people to live out the gospel of Christ. And that's so that when people see you living out the gospel of Christ, they can ask you why you live out the gospel of Christ, and you can give them the gospel of Christ. It isn't so that you can just say, okay, I'm going to live it. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to live it. I live it. No, it's for a purpose. It's not just to make you feel good about yourself. It's so that that witness can bring people to you so that you can share the gospel with them. It's all a purpose. Just like the enemy uses everything that's distracting you for a purpose, God uses this word to bring you to a place where you witness to the people in your life for a purpose. And as in, he says in Peter, he's not willing that any should perish, but that should have everlasting life. God doesn't want anyone to die and separated from him. And that's why he calls you and I to go out there and make disciples of all nations. Let's stand. Give you a break here. Look, the reason why I have never in my life ever asked to stand at a podium and preach on ever until today. I asked Jeff for this privilege. And the reason why I asked him is because of the way that God has put it on my heart that this is literally an emergency situation. Your family and friends, my family and friends, are in dire straits. They're in a predicament. The world around them is falling apart. And I can sit and I can spend days with you pointing out the scriptures that say we're on the verge of judgment. Not us, the Christian, but the world. We are very close. Very, very close. To the Lord coming back for his church, and to the Lord also judging the earth. And you don't want your family to be here for that. Trust me. So my word to you today, I'm begging you, please, change the way we do things. Change the way you live your life. Stop giving your attention and your love to the world. Start giving them Jesus. It's their only hope. There is no other way to heaven. He is the only way. And if we don't bring it to them, if we don't speak it into their lives constantly, they're not going to get it. You think that the world out there is all of a sudden say, well, you know what? You know what the world needs? They need Jesus. And we need to start telling them about Jesus. That ain't going to happen. It's going to take you and me going out there and sharing with our family, with our friends, that Jesus loves them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for that wonderful privilege that you give to us to share your word, to share your love for us, to share with our family and friends that you love them and that you made a way for them to come to you and find salvation. That's a blessed privilege, and we thank you so much for that opportunity. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us in the sound of my voice, both in this room and out in the Facebook world where this video may be reaching them, that you would put it on our hearts, that you would impress it on our hearts, more important than anything else we do, to go out into this world and witness of your great love, to shine your light into the world, to be the salt of this world in the lives of the people around us, and to never waver and to never miss a step and to just be a witness. Lord, we need you to do this. We need you to fill us with your Holy Spirit, to guide us through this process, to give us the strength to do it, to bring the words of your word to us, to bring people to us, and to soften their hearts to receive it. And so we pray, fill us with your strength. Fill us with your spirit to guide us through these things. Let your word be in us, and let our lives shine your light into this world. In Jesus' name, amen.